continuing, which we will do for some little time, on our theme of being people who are intentionally looking to fill this place up. How's that? Is that a nice shorthand summary of what we want? We want to fill this place up, but not for the sake of filling this place up, but for the sake of having more workers for the harvest. Why we want people to be here gathering on a Sunday is because we want more people to be out there speaking out for the Lord and for the Salvation Army during the week, and so they can come back here for respite, Nicholas. This is the citadel. This is the place where we come to sharpen our swords and to be strengthened and to straighten up our armour from the battles that we've been in. And, so we want more people in that situation. We want more people to be part of our family, part of our village, is the way I like to put it. So we looked last week at, pray to the Lord of the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And how that appears at the end of a normal day for Jesus, when he just went through calling people to trust in him and healing people and speaking out the values of the kingdom of God just in his normal day. And that was a challenge for last week. So this week, I want to talk to us about... And it came about for us in the song selection today with Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. We could have sung, He is Exalted. The King is exalted on high. I will praise him. But I want us to think today about exalting Jesus, about lifting his name up high. Jesus said that a city that's set on a hill is easy to find. You don't put a bucket over the top of your lamp. You let it shine out so that people see and they know where you are and they know where to come. Well, we're on a hill and, we've got a lot of lights fixed up lately. So all the outside lights work properly and they work on either the sensor or completely on all the time. So when we have evening things here, we've got nice safe step lights and we've got nice bright outside lights. People can see where we are. And we want that to be true of our hearts and our fellowship as well. We want to be the sort of fellowship that's bright and welcoming and inviting. And we do that in this way. Jesus has this conversation with Nicodemus that we read of in John chapter 3. And we're sort of familiar with the story. There's a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the ruling council, came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. No one could perform the signs you are doing if God weren't with him. And then Jesus said, truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. We know that interchange between Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You shouldn't be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, you hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. So you see, he had this thing in his head that Jesus was teaching and he wanted to hear the teaching. But Jesus called him to something more. Right? He wanted to know the things that Jesus was saying because he was a teacher sent from God. But Jesus is calling him to something more than just something that's going to tickle his ears and stir up his intellect. Jesus is saying, no, there's got to be a whole new start for you. There's got to be a whole change for you, a new life. You must be born again. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You're Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you don't understand these things. Look, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people don't accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things and you don't believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And here's the crux of where I want us to settle for a while today. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And we know very well the next verse, don't we? What's the next verse? We're in John 3. He's talking to Nicodemus. 3:16. God so loved the world. We know that. But let's have a look at this business of Moses lifting up the snake. What's going on there? Do you know the story of Moses lifting up a bronze serpent on a pole? I believe that story has something to do with the fact that when you look at the emblem for a doctor, it's a staff with a snake wrapped around it. Because what happened in... what happened back in Exodus is the people were grumbling and disbelieving. They were losing their faith in God. They didn't want to trust him anymore. Their trust in him was weakening, weakening, weakening. And they were really expressing their lack of belief that God could do what he said he was going to do. And so as a result of this, all these snakes started coming into their camp and biting them. And people were dying because of these snake bites. And Moses came to God and said, what's going on? And God said, here's what you do. You put a snake, you put a bronze snake on a pole. And you stick it up, you mount it up there, and if people look up to the bronze serpent on the pole, then they'll be healed of the snake bite and the snakes will go away. What a strange story. Have you ever read that story and just sat there and thought, what is going on? There's snakes coming to bite them, so the very thing that's causing them pain is put up as a pole for them to look to. Now, some people might say this is a story about accepting the travails that come upon us. And you know, when things are hard for us, we accept that hardship. And our acceptance of that hardship will remove its power over us, right? We're not Buddhists here, okay? We are children of the living God. There's something else going on, okay? There's something about bronze, particularly in the Old Testament, as a symbol. It's a symbol of judgment. When the people came into the temple or into the tabernacle, they first had to wash in a great bronze bowl. And so they would wash and they would look at themselves in the water as they're washing in this bronze bowl. So this is judgment. Right? The bronze was them purifying themselves in a situation of judgment so that they could go into the presence of God, right? Into the inner court for those who are unable to do that. So this bronze serpent is speaking about judgment. And we read in that story that the snakes are sent on them as a judgment for their unbelief. So their unbelief has this result of death, okay? And we read of death in the Old Testament, and we know that this is presented as a historical story, and it's speaking of physical death. But the Old Testament is also given to us as symbols for us. So I think that story is saying to us that there's a spiritual death that comes from letting our trust in God fade away. There's a spiritual death that comes from letting our disbelief grow and push our trust in God away. And this, why the snake? Why is it the same thing that's on the pole that hurt them? Why is that the key? You know, I guess in some senses, you know, we look at the cliches in Hollywood movies. If someone gets a bump on the noggin and loses their memory, generally in cartoons and movies, how do they get their memory back?
Another bump on the noggin,
right? So the same thing that hurt them fixes them, okay? I don't think that's a good enough example for what we want, but it did occur to me that that's a cliche in the movies, that sometimes the same thing that causes the problem can be the thing that fixes the problem. There's some other expressions in the Bible which talk about the same thing being a problem or a blessing. The same thing being a problem or a blessing. Can anyone think what it is? There's one in particular. The same thing can either cause a problem can be a great basis for blessing. In Psalm 118:22, we're told the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So this stone that the builders looked at and thought, no, that's no good to us, we'll chuck that aside. Well, God has used that to be the cornerstone for his people. And it's speaking of Jesus. And we know that it's speaking of Jesus because Jesus in Matthew 21:42 quotes that psalm and says, have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this and it's marvellous in our eyes. Okay, and then in Isaiah we read again, this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. So we have this image in the Bible too of Jesus, or Jesus as the Word of God has come, and some people find it an offence. Some people find it a stumbling block. Right? This stone that some people stumble over because they don't think it has any worth, if seen correctly and accepted for what it is the very basis of our faith. So Jesus himself can either be something that causes stumbling for people or the very foundation of a new world.
Amen.
Okay. And so this snake which is the result of disbelief. And I think what I'm reading into this story here is that it's a crisis. Is it belief or disbelief? Are we going to trust or panic? Okay? And for those who are panicking, the consequence of that is like the stumbling block. You trip over, you fall. Your lack of faith sort of feeds on itself and away you go. But that very point, at the very point of difference there, is whether to trust Jesus, whether to trust God to do what he said. If we trust God, instead of going away and that distrust biting us, so to speak, we trust God and look up to his promises, our trust removes our distrust and it removes the consequences of our distrust. So this story, as Jesus presents it to Nicodemus, and as we read it in Exodus, as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. So if we don't accept who Jesus is, if we don't trust in Jesus, it's going to be a problem for us. But if we do accept Jesus, then that's going to be a sure foundation for us to build our life. Is that a fair way of looking at those stories? The bronze serpent lifted up, this sense of, you know, judgment, of discernment, of seeing things clearly, of lifting up the promises of God, lifting up the judgment of God, exalting Jesus. As Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Okay? I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. So Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, this is not just a story for you to believe with your head. This is not just something that a teacher can come and tell you about and you can understand how the story works or how the teaching goes. This is a whole new life and it must have a foundation. And the foundation must be Jesus. Not simply the things that Jesus said, not simply the things that he taught, but Jesus himself. That's what I hear Jesus saying to Nicodemus. It's not simply the things that he taught, it is Jesus himself. And there are, sadly, people within the Christian church even who will tell us that we should be concentrating mostly on the things that Jesus said rather than on Jesus himself. Our faith comes from the person of Jesus and his personal relationship with us.
Amen.
Right? The things that he said are true, but more importantly than that, he is the truth. Yes? Jesus is the way. He doesn't just point the way. Jesus is the truth. He doesn't just tell the truth. He is our life. He doesn't just give us life. Do we understand the difference? It is this relying completely on Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That is the bright light of faith that is going to call people and welcome people here. Okay? So if we want to build up our numbers, which we do, not just of people to sit here and sing great songs on a Sunday morning, but of people to carry on the business of the kingdom of God in Dural and Glenorie and Castle Hill and Pennant Hills and Cherrybrook. You know, we'll get to that later. Let's get Glenorie happening. But our faith must be the faith in the person of Jesus, in our relationship with Jesus. This is our faith in him, which is going to be the great beacon. The beacon that beckons. And I don't think that's a pun. I think they're the same word, from the same root. But it calls people. We're the city on the hill, with a light held up on a lampstand to call people close so that they can meet with Jesus. Just need to go to my... How do I find this? I had it all set up. There's another place where this this thought of Jesus being lifted up, Jesus being exalted, okay? And we'll talk a little about exactly what exalting Jesus means. But there's another place, and we're here in John chapter 12, and we're looking at number 20, verse 20. Actually, let's slip back a little bit. It's Jesus has just brought Lazarus out of the tomb, right? He's just brought Lazarus up from the dead, and in verse 17 here it says, "Oh no, let's go back to 16." At first, his disciples didn't understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that those things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Right? Now the Pharisees saw that as a problem. Okay? They didn't mean that as a compliment. The whole world has gone out after him. But we can see it as a statement of hope, can't we? There were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. Why did they come to Philip? What language does the name Philip come from? Comes from Greek, right? It means lover of horses. Phil, love, hippo, horse. So they came to a guy who had some Greek background. They came to someone they had a connection with, yeah? There were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Right? So the word's spreading out about Jesus, and people come and they connect with someone that they have a point of connection with. They find someone that they have something in common with, and they say, "We'd like to see Jesus." Simple. So Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, went to see Jesus. So Jesus replied that the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it's for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from Jesus. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world." Bronze. "Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I," he says, "when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Right? When I am lifted up from the earth, right? When I am exalted, when I have done the work I have come to do, and I've been exalted, when I'm lifted up on a piece of wood like the serpent was, but more, when I am exalted, when I am shown to be the one that God has put in place for this work to happen, I will draw all people to myself. So to exalt Jesus means to give him his proper place. Not to, you know, for us to exalt one another might mean that we're sort of putting someone up a bit too high. I don't think you can put Jesus up too high. Matter of fact, I'm certain that you can't put Jesus up too high. So Jesus is saying if we exalt him, right? The bronze serpent was put up on a physical pole. Jesus' body was put up on a physical tree. But there's something else that he's asking. He's saying that when we exalt him, when we lift his name up high, when the name of Jesus matters more than any other reason we might have for doing things, when we put him in his proper place as Lord of our church, Lord of our lives, Lord of our relationships one with another here, Lord of everything that's going on. In other words, everything serves the name of Jesus. If we make a friend, that friendship is not just for our sake. That friendship is for the sake of the kingdom of God, because Jesus is Lord over that friendship. If we have an ability to communicate with people of a certain background, or you know, whether it's a Corvette club, you know, whether it's engineers and miniature trains. I don't think you call them model trains, do you? Miniature trains, you know. If you've got a point of contact with people, that doesn't just belong to you, you know. If I find someone else that enjoys Gibson guitars, right, that relationship doesn't just belong to me. That belongs to Jesus because he is Lord of those relationships. Yeah? We put the name of Jesus above everything. We lift him up. And honestly, there's this verse 25 in John 12. I've got to say it. I've been trying not to say it, but I've got to say it. That the Salvation Army needs to hear this. If we love our own life, we will lose it. But if we put our own life aside and serve the Lord, we will find a greater life than we've ever known. And we as the Salvation Army need to hear that. We need to stop protecting ourselves. We need to open ourselves and say, here we are. We are the Salvation Army at Dural, bringing it back to us. We are the Salvation Army at Dural. We love Jesus. We serve Jesus. We honour Jesus. We lift up the name of Jesus. That's who we are. That's what we're here for. You know, you're welcome to come and have your birthday party here, but you need to know who we are. You're welcome to help us out with the Red Shield appeal, but you need to know who we are. You're welcome to play in the playground, but you need to know who we are. All right? You're welcome to come and have us pay for your shopping, but you need to know who we are. You need to know the reason why we do everything we do. Because if we withhold that reason from people, we are withholding from them the opportunity of drawing close to Jesus from themselves. We want more people to come on board. We need to burn brightly. We need to glow brightly. Acknowledge who we are. Not be God botherers, but just be who we are. Make sure that in our own lives, in our own fellowship, we are lifting Jesus up. When we lift Jesus up, he will draw people to himself.
Amen.
Our job is simply to go out and harvest, right? Our job is not to confront people and change their minds and all this sort of stuff. We can explain, we can tell the truth, that's great. But our job is to find the people who God is already calling to be with us. Find out who they are, welcome them here, so that this can once again be a thriving place where people are working out there in our community for kingdom business, yeah? Let's exalt the name of Jesus. Lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me, right? I resisted the temptation of going back and having that one today. I thought I'd just refer to it, okay? Let's lift Jesus high in all that we do. Personally, in our friendships, as a core. And yes, if anyone else is listening to this on our website, the Salvation Army, the Christian Church, make sure that our first priority is to lift Jesus higher and allow him to draw people to us so that we can do the job of welcoming and inviting and growing and strengthening and making disciples. Yep. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you have given us the way to come close to you, and that way is in the person of Jesus. Help us to trust in him. Help us to let our love for him and our exaltation of his name be the thing that marks us out from other groups and other organisations in this area. Let us be truly a city set on a hill with a brightly burning light of passion for you that will attract people who are ready to hear your invitation, so that we can welcome people, we can train people, we can encourage people, and we can set people free to do your business out in this community and start the cycle over again. We pray all this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Right, we need to sing one more song.